We've got a theme verse that we all share together. It's up there on the screen. Hopefully you can read that. And our tradition is to read this together. Are you ready to do that this morning? Okay, Leah's ready. I think I heard Emery mumble. We're all going to try and read this together in unison right now. Jesus brought this good news of peace to you who were far away from Him. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. You are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. We are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through Him, you are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. And this morning, our text comes out of Genesis. I'm going to begin a new series called The Blessed Life. Everybody say, The Blessed Life. How many of you would like to live a life that is blessed by God Almighty? I know that I would. We're gonna be on this for the next few weeks. And this morning, I'm beginning. This may seem curious to some of you, but I think you'll understand it by the time we're done. Genesis 37. You just follow along there. If you have a Bible, you might open up there. But it says this: Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah and his father's wives. Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was a son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw their father loved him more than their brothers, they hated him. They could not speak peaceably to him. Now, Joseph had a dream. Everybody say, a dream. He told it to his brothers. They hated him all the more. So he said to them, please hear this dream that I have dreamed. They were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around it and bowed down to my sheaves. The brother said, shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream, and told it to the brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time, you think he'd learn by now, okay? They hated him, but whatever. And so by this time, the sun and moon, the 11 stars bowed down to me. He told it to his father and his brothers. His father rebuked him and said, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come and bow down to the earth before you? His brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Let's pray together. Lord, I just thank you for your spirit that is upon this people and upon this house. God, I just pray that even right now, Lord, you would release a great anointing over this room. We want to tap into, Lord, the blessing that you have for each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that you would move us into a realm, Lord, of blessing. As we prayed at the beginning of this year, Lord, that you would move in our lives to such a degree that individuals, even outside the kingdom of God, would look upon our lives and say, I need to know the God that's blessing you. I need to know the God that's blessing your marriage and blessing your finances and blessing your health and blessing your work relationships. And Lord, I pray that you would move us into this sort of place and position. Let us learn from the life of Joseph. God, I pray that even right now, the anointing of your Holy Spirit would rest upon me. Anoint me to preach your word with authority, Lord, as I ought to. Anoint your people to hear and to receive the word that you have for each and every one of us. Oh, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing and what you're getting ready to do. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. You may take a seat. You know, I've entitled this message, The Blessed Life. Now, for those of you who know the story of Joseph and where this is going, you might think that that this is an interesting... What are you saying to me, Leah? Okay. She's telling me to stay right here. This is going to be difficult. I need to walk and talk. We'll try. I'm sure it's for the sake of the live stream. God bless you, live stream. I'm glad that you guys are with us this morning. Joseph might seem like an interesting story to try and pull from, because I don't know what you think about when you think about the life of Joseph. Do you think about a blessed man of God? I think about a guy who endured a lot, but boy, God sure taught him a lot throughout all of this as well. And so I started out the passage, I read it, but I'm really going to summarize parts of this story because Joseph in his testimony spans 8 chapters, and I'm not going to read that all to you. I'm going to summarize the story and pull out a couple of points that I think will bless you. In fact, I've broken this down into what I call episodes, okay? And so this is the first episode. I think I've got 5 episodes. And here's episode 1, the dream. If you're taking notes, this is where you're going to take notes. Episode 1, the dream. We just read this account. God is speaking to Joseph through his dreams. Are there any dreamers in the house? Anybody that has dreams? Listen, let me just tell you. Is it okay if I walk in front of this? Okay, I'll just stay in this general region, okay? But, you know, let me just tell you. This is, I'm very serious about this. There's a concept in the kingdom. Dr. Morocco would call it a canopy of anointing, right? That what rests upon the head of a household will naturally flow down. This is why I believe for supernatural blessings. This is why I believe for the gift of faith, the gift of leadership, some of these things that I have not necessarily plowed and contended for heavily, but I know that Dr. Morocco has. And as my spiritual covering, I expect that anointing to overflow on me. Well, let me tell you something about my wife and I. My wife and I are both dreamers. My wife several times a week will have dreams. The Lord will speak to her. Sometimes it'll be things about the future. Sometimes it'll be things to minister to other individuals. Sometimes it's things that he's trying to work in our own lives. I have dreams on a regular basis as well. And the reason that I share that isn't like, wow, Pastor Jacob and Leah, Minister Leah have dreams. The reason that I share this is as you guys come under the ministry of this house, you ought to expect that God will begin to give you dreams. If you're not a dreamer, you can begin to ask the Lord, Lord, if you're speaking to my spiritual covering, my pastors in that way, I believe that you can speak to me that way. In fact, I've already heard it from several individuals who have come within the realm of this ministry within the last year. They were not dreamers before, but as soon as they started attending this church and making that a cry of their heart, God began to give them dreams. So expect, if you're not a dreamer, expect that God will give you dreams. He wants to speak. He wants to show his will and his intentions through it. And this is what we see with Joseph. God begins to reveal, you know, God wants to raise up Joseph as a leader. God wants to raise up Joseph as a, you know, with the ability to lead others and to cover others. And we know where this story ends up going, and we see God's will fulfilled in his life. But God revealed it through a dream. And so God was revealing his will to bless Joseph, and God wants to do that for each and every one of us. You guys know if you were here at the beginning of the year, we prayed extensively, primarily out of Romans 10 and Romans 11. There's this concept in the Bible where God talks about provoking individuals to what we call godly jealousy. Do we understand this concept? This is essentially, I was praying for a couple, a family that was right here just a little bit earlier today. And I was praying, God, I want you to bless them in every area of their life. I want individuals, they don't know Jesus. They have no idea who God is or what his blessings look like. But as they look upon the families in our church, I want them to say, how is your marriage so blessed? How do you husbands and wives, how do you love each other so much? Wait, how did you get in that house? It's impossible for you to own a house that's that expensive in a place like Lahaina. How is that possible? How are your kids at the top of the class? I mean, you weren't that smart. How's your kids that smart? You understand what I'm saying? God wants to do this kind of thing. How is everybody around you sick in body, but you're as healthy as an ox, right? I mean, how is this possible? How is it that you're 80 years old and you're still starting ministries and life groups and leading the way? And I mean, how is this possible? Guys, this is part of living a blessed life. And what God wants to do, you can read Romans 10 and 11, part of the way that even in the last day, he's going to turn the hearts of his people, the Jewish people, is these guys are going to see the blessings that are being poured out on Christians. And they're going to look and say, if God is blessing them that way, the Bible says they're going to be provoked to jealousy. I want God blessing me like that. I need to know this Jesus they're talking about. I believe I've got a friend who ministers in Iraq. In his ministry, he ministers to the Kurds. Now, if you know anything about the Kurds, this is like, they're not received by, they're not received by the Muslims. They're not received by the Christians. They're like the half-breed middle. They're not purebred, you know, anything. And so they're kind of the mutts of that region. And what this guy does is he goes and he ministers to the Kurdish people. And his strategy is to see God's blessing so poured out over these people that Christians and Muslims alike will look upon these individuals and say, how are you so blessed? What is going on in your life? I need to know this Jesus that you're talking about. And so he's literally using this, provoking to jealousy. Does that sound like something that you believe God to do in and through your life? Guys, that'll make evangelism easy for us if God is blessing us. And so over these next couple weeks, I'm going to talk about being blessed in our finances. I'm going to talk about being blessed in our families, in our marriage and children. I'm going to talk about being blessed in our health. As soon as I get healthy, we'll start doing that. But here we're going to learn from Joseph. And what I think is interesting about Joseph, I know when I start talking about blessings, immediately some of you are thinking, man, Pastor, are you going to go this route where nothing bad ever happens to believers, or God, you know, that God doesn't ever, you know, work through hardship? Absolutely not. And that's exactly why I chose the life of Joseph. You're going to see in these episodes, there was a test that came into his life. Some of them he passed with flying colors. Others, he could have done a little better. But then you'll also see that there was something God produced in his life that's a reward. And so we've got an episode, we have a test, and then we've got a reward. So here's the first episode. We have the dream that Joseph had. Here's the test. The test was in his humility and in his wisdom. I don't know which one Joseph was struggling with here, but you would think he gets this dream. His brothers already hate him, right? And he goes and he shares this dream with his siblings, with his family, which I actually like this, by the way. This doesn't seem unusual for them. I believe that, you know, what they were doing, it was a part of their culture, actually, that every morning when they would get up, it was a part of Hebrew culture in this day. When they would get up in the morning, they would actually sit down together and ask, did you have any dreams last night? Because they so expected God to speak through that capacity. This is why often I'll gather my kids together. I'll ask my wife, did anybody have any dreams last night? And we just kind of see if God is speaking anything. Well, God has given Joseph a great dream, a clear dream. But here, God is probably testing his wisdom. He's testing his humility. He tries once. He begins to speak out. His brothers hate him all the more. Jacob and his wife, they stay silent in the matter. And Joseph then goes to sleep. He has another dream. And this, I mean, bonehead, come on, man. He goes and he shares this dream again with them. Now, this is where God is probably trying to teach Joseph wisdom. I'm not saying that Joseph got straight A's on all of the tests that he went through, because I think he probably could have done better on this one. But how many know, even in the tests that we fail, even in the times that we don't get it all right, we don't get it all perfect, God can still use those moments to teach us important life lessons. Is anybody thankful that our God is gracious? That our God, even when we make mistakes, even when we screw things up, that he's saying, you know what, I'm still going to redeem this. I'm going to teach you some things. It's going to be a little harder than if you would have aced it, but we're still going to learn and we're still going to grow. We're all in process. Amen. And so here's the reward that came into Joseph's life. God began to reveal his destiny. He began to reveal destiny on the inside of him. And church, if there's anything that I want you getting out of this series as we continue to move forward, I want you to understand that God has a plan for your life. I mean, this seems so elementary, but it's one of my pet peeves. I'm so grieved over how many believers I come across who seem clueless when it comes to what does God want me to do in my life? What is God's will for my life? Listen, it's another thing that I'm praying for, and this is part of being spirit-led. This is part of living a blessed life, is that you are going to have a sense of direction. God is going to give you a dream. God's going to put desires on the inside of you. A prophet is going to speak. It's going to bear witness with you. But listen, however it comes, I'm believing for your life, God's going to give you direction. He's going to give you destiny. You're going to know where it is, and we're going to move towards it. Amen? So here's the second episode. We go into some new territory here. This is the episode two, what I would call betrayal. Everybody say betrayal. This is moving into the latter part of chapter 37. We see the brothers of Joseph begin to conspire against him. They want to murder him, actually, but Reuben, luckily, he's got one brother who's kind of fighting on his defense. What they decide to do instead is they see him coming. In fact, they look, oh, look, here comes the dreamer right now. And they go and they decide, you know what, let's just throw him into this pit right here. So they take Joseph, they take him, they throw him into the pit. And then there comes a group of Ishmaelites. These are the guys who eventually develop into the Muslim nation. They sell Joseph into this group of slave traders. This sounds like a good deal, doesn't it? And so they go, and here's Joseph. He's following his dream. This is something that I want you to get, because it's going to tie into the rest of the message. Joseph, right now, by this point in time, God has given him a dream. Do we all agree with this? He's following after the destiny that God has put on his life. And Joseph begins to pursue God's plan for his life and immediately is met with opposition. Maybe he could have presented it differently. Maybe he should have held his tongue in a moment. Those things are up for debate. But I'm telling you, he was only pursuing God's plan for his life. And this is what begins to happen. Joseph is following his dream, and then he's betrayed by his family. This is the test. It's the test of offense. Everybody say offense. This is a big deal. I was talking to my wife yesterday, and I feel like, you know, by the time we begin to move into adulthood, most people, Christian or not, we kind of figure out what works in life and what doesn't. Most people move into a place of maturity. You know, truth be told, the reason I stopped partying hard, the reason I stopped living like a rebellious fool and all this kind of stuff, it wasn't even because there was a God conviction in my life, but it was like common sense started telling me, if I continue to snort cocaine and spend thousands on that, if I continue to get DUIs, if I continue to get kicked out of school, if I continue to get fired from jobs, I'm going to be a loser in life. I mean, that's really what the realization that came. Now, the grace of God just came and hit me like a jackhammer, you know, and I got born again. Man, the grace of God, I see his hand all throughout my life and my testimony, but it really began with common sense. And most people have those moments. We get our rebellious times, and then we're like, okay, time to grow up. I need to secure a job. I need to take care of my wife. I need to take care of my kids, right? You guys hearing me? So we have these moments of maturity. And so what I feel like is most of the grievous sin issues, I mean, you don't meet a whole lot of guys who have moved into a place of maturity that are still wanting to go party every night. I mean, there's exceptions, of course, but we grow into a place of maturity, right? What I feel like adults struggle with far more than going and wanting to spend their money on drugs and all this kind of stuff. Again, there's exceptions, but I feel like it's dealing with our emotions. Somebody does us wrong, and we want to harbor this bitterness. Somebody betrays us. It could be a family, it could be a friend or a work situation, and we want to hold on to this bitterness. I've never met children who are bitter. I don't know why it is, man. You can have a kid do the most rotten, mean thing, and it's like, you know, 20 minutes later, you're done crying, and you've just completely moved on with your life, right? But you get one person who looks at you cross-eyed in the church, and all of us, well, I'm not talking to them anymore. They didn't show up to my life group. You know, we get these moments. And why is it? I just feel like the devil knows the buttons. He knows that he's not going to make me go out and buy a bag of pot anymore. He knows that I'm beyond that. But if he can get a grip in my emotions, if he can have somebody offend me and I hold something in my heart towards him, I'm telling you, I'm going to fail a test that God has for my life. One of my instructors in Bible college, he just wrote something. Now, this is a man, incredible man of God, ministers in deliverance, one of the most authoritative preachers that I know in my life. And he began to talk about a journey that God had taken him through here recently. He was praying, and God began to show him that he had bitterness in his life. And he said, you know what? I had gone to people and I talked about this. He didn't outline the situation. I don't know what it was. But he said, I would go and I would talk to people about the situation and what had happened to me. And everybody, he said, I would present it in a way that it's like, you know, I'm not sinning against him and I'm not going to hold it against them. But he's like, I knew in my heart that I had bitterness. Other people might say, well, no, it sounds like you're dealing with that. Okay. Oh, no, it sounds like you're not overreacting in any of this and you're not sinning against them. And he tried to make it really sound okay. But here this last week, he gets in a place of prayer and he begins to seek the Lord. And guess what God does? First thing that he brings into his heart is a conviction over this bitterness that he's been holding on to now for nearly 2 years. And this is what God says. So he says, God, I've forgiven him. I've spoken it out. I've done. And guys, this is one thing that I've kind of struggled with, honestly, is like, how do you deal with bitterness? Do you just say the words, I forgive them? Do you need to go and have a sit-down meeting with them? Because I've gone in circles with individuals before trying to mediate reconciliation, and I'm just not sure exactly how to do this. Well, this is what the instructor did. He said that God told him, listen carefully here. This is going to help some of you. He said, God told him, I want you to pray for that person. I want you to bless them. But this is how he said specifically. Everything that you're believing for in your life, the blessings that you're believing me for, the miracles you're believing me for, I want you to begin to pray that God would give those blessings to them. And he's floored by this. He said, God, I haven't even asked you to bless me with some of these things yet. It's just been a desire in my heart. I haven't even asked you to begin to, you know, but he did. He got in the place of prayer and he began to ask the Lord the financial blessings, the business decisions, the ministry things, the relational things, every area that he was believing God to bless him. He began to ask that God would bless the individual who had offended him. And he said, as he began to bless him, it was like immediately the power of this bitterness was completely shattered over his life. This is a tool for some of us. Some of you need to hear this, and some of you, I don't know what it is that you're holding on to. Well, that ex of mine, or that pastor there, or this person who led this thing, or, you know, I don't know what it is. My boss, church. Some of you are going to need to take exactly what I said into the prayer closet. You're going to need to hit your knees and you're going to say, God, these are the blessings I'm believing for in my life. And I'm asking that you would bless Joe Bob with all of these things, right? I'm praying that you would bless Sister Amy with all of these things. I'm trying to pick names of people that aren't in this church, okay? So you guys hearing me on this? We're going to pass the test of offense, aren't we? I think if you look at the life of Joseph, you know, we don't see this taking deep root in him. I mean, we see reconciliation by the end of the story, but we don't see him complaining. We don't see him working against his family or anything. And here's the reward. Again, there's a test. In this case, it's this offense. And here's the reward is God gave Joseph influence. This leads into the next episode. And see, you're going to notice this. Every time you pass a test, church, I'm telling you, God's going to bless you with something. When you come through a season, you're going to come through a season and you're going to know this is what God taught me during that time. Or this is what God gave me during that. I mean, how many of you've been doing life and you've been walking with Jesus long enough. You know, man, if I pass the test, if I walk with Jesus, this is why he had me serving over here. This is why he had me working this job. This is why he had me be a friend to this person. And you can begin to pull out the life lessons in what God gave you through these things. Can I get a witness here? Okay. Here's the next episode, the house of Potiphar, the house of Potiphar. You guys checking with me? Okay, I'm covering a lot of ground this morning. Potiphar, so Joseph was sold into slavery, and he ended up being bought by this man, Potiphar. Potiphar was a powerful man. He was actually the captain of Pharaoh's army. And so Joseph, I mean, overnight, he's given incredible influence in the home of one of the most influential people of all of Egypt. In the Bible says in chapter 39, it says that the Lord was with Joseph. That's important. You'll see that phrase frequently throughout this story. As you work through this, you might wonder, well, you know, Joseph was taunting his call in front of his brothers. And so did God leave him because he, no, God didn't leave him. When he was in slavery, did God forsake him? No, God didn't forsake. God was with him through all of this. And this is so important to remember. And we see that in chapter 39 in verse 1. The Lord was with Joseph. And the Bible says that everything he did, he was successful in. Everything Joseph did, he was prosperous in. Everything that Joseph did, he had favor in. I mean, how many would like that to be your track record right there? As we're walking with the Lord, as the Lord is with us, I want to be successful and prosperous and have favor in all that I set my hands to do. Potiphar saw that, and because he saw this incredible favor and success and prosperity on his life, this is why he began to elevate him. He began to work him up in the system, and before you know it, he's got... Oh, there's another thing, actually, the Bible says. It says that God made Joseph very handsome. How many would like to receive that anointing right there? Yeah. Uncle Kaoki, I see. Yeah. I mean, I want to receive that too, man. But you know, one of the things is it actually created some problems for him because of his handsomeness. You see, before too long, the Bible actually says that Potiphar's wife, his boss's wife, began casting longing eyes for him day after day. Casting longing eyes. I don't know what that means, but I can imagine what that means. You know, you guys know that look, right? Don't try and give it to any. If you have a husband, you can try and give him the longing eyes right now. But this is how she was looking now at Joseph. And so here's the test. There was a false accusation that came into Joseph, and I'm going to go ahead and give you what the reward was. The reward was integrity. You know what integrity is? You guys know what happens in this story, right? Let me summarize it for you. Here's this woman now looking longingly after Joseph, and then she begins to give him proposition. I want you to come and I want you to lay with me. I want you to have sex with me. And Joseph, absolutely not. He's like, and he begins to talk about your husband, my master, has given me everything in his kingdom. He's not withheld anything from me. His home, his finances, his authority. He's not held anything back except for you. I'm not going to violate this. And he begins to resist and he begins to push back on this. Now, one day, Joseph comes into the house. The Bible says that day after day, she was coming after him like this. Now, first of all, well, let me just share this. She's coming day after day. And then finally, one day, he goes into the house and here's a problem. Nobody's home except for the wife. Now, there's a couple areas. Again, I'm not saying that Joseph got straight A's in all of his tests, because I think he missed it in a couple areas right here. First of all, the first time this woman came with her longing eyes and her invitation to the bed of adultery, he should have said something to somebody. He should have brought this thing. I'm telling you guys, the devil likes to dwell in places of darkness. If he can keep that sin or even that temptation, he didn't sin yet, but if he can even keep that temptation in the dark, nobody knows about it, nobody's hearing about it, I tell you, he's won a partial victory. If Joseph would have gone, and I don't know what this would have looked like, maybe he goes to Potiphar, maybe there was somebody else in his life that he could have gone to, but he should have exposed this thing before it had ever come to light. You guys hearing me on this? The second issue is, here's now Joseph, you know, and he, this thing has gone on for day after day, and now Potiphar, now she's alone with him. That's the other issue right there, okay? This is, you know, if, you know, ladies in this place, if you ever call a meeting with me, I'll meet with you, but there's going to be somebody else there. My wife is going to sit in on that meeting. There's going to be, you know, your husband's going to sit in that meeting. I have never to this day met with a woman alone. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to give room. There's nothing that's going to dwell in darkness. There's nothing that's going to be a secret. I'm not even going to give room. Even if there's nothing that transpires, all it takes is one word, one lying accusation, and that's exactly what happens here. It's exactly what happens here. Joseph, I mean, she grabs a hold of him, literally trying to grab him and, you know, and take him. And, you know, he, in the attempt to run away, he ends up losing his robe and he flees that house, literally fleeing sexual immorality. So there's a win for Joseph. Okay, good job, buddy. He doesn't give in. He doesn't give in to the temptation. And so that's the good thing, right? But this thing could have played out better for him, right? And so here is this betrayal. Here is, you know, this wife now, she makes a false accusation, but the thing sticks. And he ends up, you know, he ends up going and he ends up being cast into prison. Now, you guys know what the word integrity means? Integrity means without compromise. Integrity means without blemish. You know, I think the best picture of this that you could have is like of a boat. Right? You take a boat, you put it in the water, and if the boat has integrity, that means there's not a leak. That means there's nothing that's coming into that boat that's not supposed to be there. That's a ship with integrity. And that's how our lives ought to be. Not just in the seen realm. It's not just outside. It's nice and polished and you got the name on there and it just looks wonderful. But even in the unseen realm, inside, under the deck, where nobody can see, this is where true integrity is proved. You guys hearing me? I'm telling you, you can pass a lot of tests in God's kingdom, but if you don't pass the test of integrity, you're never going to step into the fullness of God's destiny for your life. Simple. But if we cannot live and walk with integrity, I'm telling you, this is the standard that God is calling us to. I've watched individuals incredibly gifted, incredibly anointed, but they compromise the call of God on their life because they lack integrity. They don't have the character to walk this thing out. Guys, I'm telling you, if you want God to use you, if you want God to elevate you, if you want God to increase authority or anointing or position on your life, one of the very first things that you need to check is your integrity. Do I got springs? Do I got holes in my hole? Okay. H-U-L-L, right? You guys following me? Okay. So let's continue. You guys doing good? Anybody mad at me? All right. I know you start talking about sin and integrity. People get irritated because you begin thinking about, and listen, everybody's got an area that the devil's going to poke at you in. Everybody's got an area that you would rather have hidden. And all I'm asking you to do is, Holy Spirit, some of you might even feel overwhelmed. Because you're thinking, man, I'm living with my boyfriend. I've got a kid here and I've stolen over here and I've got, you know, I smoke cigarettes and I got this. And you're thinking about, like, I've got a list like 30 items long. Where the heck do I even begin? And I know I felt for a while that I just, when I was first getting right with God, I knew that I had all kinds of junk in my life. And there was a time where I'm just like, man, this is just too much. I'm not even going to try. This is what I would encourage you to do. You begin to pray and ask the Lord, God, what's the big thing right now? Put your finger on the one issue that you would have me work on right now. Okay? There's things that I'm still working through, character issues and whatnot. You know, God will bring this temper thing, you know, whatever it is. I mean, you can go to just about anybody who's walking after God, truly. What's God dealing with you about right now? We should all have something, right? Until you've arrived, until you've been perfected, is anybody there yet? Anybody there? If you are, then well, I'll let you pastor the church. You pray for me, but I've still got things that God is working in me. But I know this: when God puts His finger on an issue in my life, I try my best to be responsive to it. I try not to keep that thing hidden in darkness. I'll go talk to my wife. I'll go talk to my pastor. I'll go talk to somebody about the, you know, because I'm not going to let things dwell in the secret, right? You guys hearing me? Okay, let's move on. Here's the next episode. Joseph finds himself in the prison. And here's the test is bitterness. And what God, this is a really interesting. Some of you may wonder, where is this bitterness? So Joseph ends up being arrested, right? Captain Potiphar has him thrown in prison because of this false accusation. How many know that's a reason to get bitter pretty quick? I mean, you've got this false accusation, but he doesn't. He ends up applying himself, and again, he finds himself in favor and in prosperity, and everything he's setting his hands to is succeeding. And so he finds himself elevated even in the prison. It's amazing. God gives him influence even there. In fact, the Bible says again, as it's beginning his episode there in the prison, that again, God was with him. God was with him. And so, before too terribly long, God sends two individuals. He sends a baker and a cupbearer. He sends these two men into Joseph's life, and these guys, they wake up one morning, and they're all distressed. because they've had dreams and they don't know what it means. Somebody begins to tell them about Joseph. Well, there's a Hebrew boy over there. He's in prison. And I think that he interprets dreams. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever thought about this, but you imagine Joseph. He was 17 years old when he was sold into slavery. We know that by the time he appears before Potiphar, the Bible says that he had just turned 30 years old. He was in prison for at least 2 years. So by this time, he's 28 years old. So help me with the math here. From 17 to 28. So what are we talking? 12 years, 11, 12 years, somewhere in that neighborhood. Joseph, am I right? Okay. I became a preacher so I wouldn't have to do math. So here's Joseph, and now he's in prison. For 12 years, he's been pursuing a dream that God has put in his life. Now he is in prison because he followed the dream that God has for his life. And then God sends him two boys who have what? Dreams. This is where I say he was tested with bitterness. Because if you're like me, if my dreams in pursuing my dreams had ended me up being betrayed by my family, falsely accused of sexual immorality, ending up in prison, I would probably slap the next person that came to me with a dream. Keep your dreams to yourself. Ignore your dreams. Your dreams will end you up right here where I'm not listening to dreams, right? But Joseph didn't do that. He didn't do that. I mean, this just blows my mind. He hears these men and their dreams, and he interprets both of them. God gives him revelation. He says, well, God is the one who gives dreams, and God is the one who can give revelation. And so he begins to do this. Now, you watch. Here's what he received. This was his reward. He received favor in his life. Falsely accused, but he doesn't yield to this thing. In fact, he interprets the dreams and he does this. And next thing you know, he goes, this guy leaves, and the timeline, I could spend weeks preaching about Joseph. If you really think about this story, here, one of these guys ends up getting beheaded. You know, he did wrong, but excuse me, I think it was the cupbearer, right, who ends up going back into the presence of Pharaoh. The Bible says that he forgot about Joseph. That's real nice. You know, don't forget me when you go. You know, tell somebody that I'm here. He forgets about him. And for 2 years, he's still there rotting in that prison cell. Doing all right, as favorable and as high positioned as you can be in the prison. Everywhere he went, he was excelling. You guys expect that kind of stuff for your life? I mean, I expect that for myself, okay? If I'm like, if I ever had to, you know, drop out of the ministry and I was working McDonald's, like, I expect that I would own that McDonald's before too long. Because favor, blessing, right? Everything I set my hands to, I expect that. You ought to expect that in your life, in your workplace. You're going to have the best marriage. Well, you're not going to have the best marriage because I'm going to have the best marriage. My kids are going to beat your kids in sports. But, you know, we can compete for this, okay? And I'm just telling, I expect God's favor in everything I set my hands to do because my God fights for me. My God is with me. I'm passing tests and I'm I'm doing what I can. Praise God. Okay. Glory to God. Thank you for that, Cowie. Appreciate that, brother. He has the test of bitterness, and here's the next episode. We're almost done. You guys hanging in there with me? I hope this is blessing you. We have Pharaoh's dream. Oh, there's a dream again. Again, another opportunity for him to turn tail and run, but he doesn't. He has faith. I find that this is interesting. Here's the test of his faith. Joseph gets summoned from prison. Pharaoh has a dream. Joseph is called upon by the cupbearer remembers Joseph. And so, there's a guy who helped interpret my dream. Maybe he can interpret your dream. So they go down into the prison. They summon Joseph. They clean him up, shave him, all of this kind of stuff, get him new clothes, and they bring him before Pharaoh. And this is what it says in Genesis 41, verse 16. I have had a dream, and there's no one who can interpret it, but I've heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. And so Joseph answered Pharaoh and said, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. You know what I like about this? Joseph, even by this time, I think he's learned a thing or two about humility by this point in time. Because he doesn't say, yes, I am a great interpreter of dreams. I'm a dreamer and an interpreter of dreams. No, he says, it's not me. It's not me. It's not in me. But God can do this. God can give you an interpretation of this dream. You know what that is, church? That's humility and that's faith. You understand how scary it would be maybe to come in front of a Pharaoh, especially when your entire life has been betrayal by people that you're supposed to trust in. And now he's brought before this man who could at just a word, nah, I don't like that interpretation. You're done. Back into the prison, off with your head, you know, whatever he wants to do. Pharaoh could do this. They honored him as a god in that culture. But he goes and he says, no, God will give you the interpretation. So he interprets the dream. Pharaoh is so impacted by this, he immediately promotes him to governor. You guys know this story. He's riding in the chariot. He receives the signet ring. He receives a new robe. He's given place as second in command overnight from the prison straight to the palace, second in command again. I mean, God promotes him. This is absolutely amazing. He is rewarded with authority. And now we see him operating in wisdom. Praise God. And here's the last episode for you this morning. The family reunion. I like this. The family reunion. Here's the test that Joseph, I believe, faced in this time. You know, the land was going into a drought. Going into famine. Joseph knew, and for 7 years he was storing up food and all of this so that they could survive the famine. And eventually we go back and we see Jacob and the rest of his children there, the other 11, and we see the way that they're struggling. And so we hear that they've got food in Egypt. And so they go and they send for Joseph. And this story is comical to me. I laugh every time I read it because these guys come, they don't recognize Joseph. They come to him and he gives them food and all this kind of stuff, and then he returns their pay. Like, he's putting pressure on these guys, and I mean, they're leaving, and the Bible talks about how they open up their bags as they're about a day's journey away, and it says their hearts faint within them. I mean, they're just like in distress because they know they're at this guy's mercy, and he's like heckling them while he's this is the test that came into Joseph. It's already there on the screen, the test of forgiveness. Is he going to forgive his brothers? Because now he has authority, the same authority as Pharaoh. He could let these guys starve. He could have these guys thrown into prison. He could do whatever he wants to here. But we watch him. He plays with them a little bit, okay? One of my favorite parts is when it's the second time they've come back. He's got one of the boys in jail, and he sends them away. You go and you bring the youngest one back to me, and then and I'll let you guys go. And he takes his own cup, and he puts it in the bag. He sends them away, and they find the bag, or they find the cup in the bag of the youngest brother. And I mean, the Bible talks about how they faint within themselves, and they begin to tear their own clothes. And I want to see a movie reenactment of that. I just think it's hilarious the way that Joseph messed with his brothers. You got to mess with your brothers a little bit. You know, especially when you're dealing in the family, forgive them, but you can jack with them a little bit, okay? And so, maybe not. That's not good advice. But here's what he did. He did forgive them. And we see this restoration. This is the reward. Guys, this is amazing. If you look at this entire story, in fact, I want to share as I close. In fact, if I could have, you know, the worship team come, we're gonna do our closing prayer here in just a moment. Look at what Joseph says. I've outlined the entire story and all that Joseph has gone through, but I want you to look at what he says at the end of his life. It's there on the screen. It says, God sent me before you. He's speaking to his brothers, to his family. He says, God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, a lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Wow. Church, you think about what he's just said right there. His family betrayed him, sold him into slavery. Now, 15 years ago, he was pursuing a dream that God had put in his heart. Sold into slavery, betrayed, all of this. But at the end of the day, when his family is standing there right before him, he says, it wasn't you guys who sent me. It wasn't you guys who betrayed me. It wasn't you guys who sold me into slavery. It was God. God was positioning me. God was testing me. God was rewarding me. God sent me before you so that one day I could save your life. And guess what? The dream, exactly as God had given it, was fulfilled. Before you know it, his family is coming. They're bowing down and he gets to be a covering. He gets to save them. He gets to provide for them. They would have starved to death. But God, in his wisdom and his mercy, positioned Joseph exactly where he needed to be. Where are you at today? You know, I don't know where life has brought you. You may look at the points that I lined out today and you find that in one area or another you're being tested. Maybe you've just come through a great season and God's blessed you and you're feeling rewarded, but let me just warn you, there's going to be another test that comes somewhere down the road. God's always going to have this in the pattern. It may be the same things that Joseph was tested with. It's probably going to be something entirely different. But when it comes, are you going to pass the test? Are we going to walk through this race, or are we going to, you know, the verse comes to mind where the Apostle Paul in Ephesians says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You understand there's spiritual forces that are operating all around us, that God's activity is going on, that the devil is operating. And right now, man, Joseph, he could have been upset with his dad. He could have been upset with his brothers. He could have been upset with Potiphar. He could have been upset with the butler who forgot about him in prison. I mean, he had a lot of people that he could have been upset with, but no, none of it. He was saying, God put me where I needed to be. God taught me. God positioned me. God had favor on me. God, and I'm just wondering, here today, are there people that we've been walking around with? There's people that you're walking around in your life with. I'm so angry at my dad. So angry at my mom. I've had betrayal like that from my brothers. My best friend spoke against me. He did this or that. I've got this situation that's gone. Are we walking around holding on to that kind of stuff? Or are we saying, God, what are you positioning me for? What are you doing in me and through me? I want you to stand to your feet. As we prepare to close, I want to share one story with you. When I first went into ministry, I was 21 years old when I took my first senior pastor position in Illinois. My wife and I went. She was 20. Pregnant with Mariah, didn't even have our first kid yet. God thrust us right into ministry. I had a friend, he was my worship leader. And this was a guy who had actually gone to bat for me, helped get me hired at the church. 2-3 times a week, him and I would go every morning and we'd have prayer meeting and then we'd go and we'd play golf. Church had got me a set of golf clubs and a membership at a golf club. And so he was my friend, man. He was really my only friend. I hadn't connected with a lot of people there in the church yet. Church was about a tenth of what this is. I mean, there's probably 30 people that were in that entire church altogether. Youth, everybody included. And so I was there and this was my friend. And I'll never forget this season where deception began to come into his heart. He felt like other leaders in the church were conspiring against him and speaking against him. And next thing I know, I have people coming into my church. I'll never forget one day. Lady comes walking into my office. And she'd just been down the street at this guy's, at my worship leader's workplace. He worked at a car lot right down the street. She came into my office crying. It's like, Pastor Jacob, I was just down there and you wouldn't believe the things that he was saying about you. All the things that they're talking about, they're just awful. And I know it's not true, but Pastor, I just had to come in and I had to tell you right now. And everything in me in that moment, I wanted to get up. I wanted to go down the street. I knew that meeting was going on. I wanted to bust in there and, you know, call out all these families and, I know what's going on. But I'll never forget. I stood up and I was stressed, man. You got to think, I'm a 21-year-old kid. I'm on, like, I mean, my salary was, including benefits, right at $20,000 a year. Okay? And that had been guaranteed for 6 months. If giving didn't go up, if the church didn't grow, I'm going part-time. Even though I'm already on a part-time salary, right? And so the thought of this man getting ready to split my church, my only friend in the church, he's going to split this church. People are going to leave. Giving's going to get just be devastated. I mean, I was in a fearful place. You understand? And I'll never forget, God spoke to me so clearly two things, and I'll never forget it for the rest of my life. I stood up, and I couldn't even walk around anywhere. I was in my office, and I just put my nose in the corner of the room. And I'm like, God, your word says that your yoke is easy and your burden is light, but I don't feel that way at all right now. I want to go down there. I want to call out these guys. I'm like, God, what do I do? And this is what the Lord spoke to me. He said, Jacob, you deal in integrity. Don't you slander. Don't you sin. Don't you say one word unless you're supposed to. Deal in integrity. And the other thing he says, don't defend yourself and I'll defend you. So I left it up in the open. Long story short, I don't have time to walk through all of this, but God ended up exposing every lie, every deceit. And you know what was amazing? As I navigated that situation, I'll never forget, things had calmed down. Several families left. Many new families came. And I'll never forget my elders calling me into a meeting. I thought they were going to fire me. I just, like, all this uproar in the church and everything, you know, I just didn't know what was going to happen. But I sat down and our elders, this is what my elders said to me. They said, Jacob, we have seen the way that you have gone through and navigated this situation. We know that it was your friend who was speaking against this and you could have tried to cater to their demands and give in to what they were asking for and doing all of this kind of thing, but you didn't do that. You dealt with integrity and never once have I heard you slander anybody. You didn't tear anybody down. You haven't even defended yourself. And you know what I discovered in that time? I earned the trust of that eldership in a way that I never could have before. I ran for the next 7 years with those men of God. And unashamedly, we went through trials and all, but I knew those men had my back because we had gone through that trial together. God was so faithful. God was so faithful. And you know what? Still to this day, I see that worship leader and there's not a hint of unforgiveness. I mean, it was the grace of God. It was dealt with. And I love him and I bless him and all that. And I'm just telling you, I guess the reason that I share that, I don't know what betrayal, I don't know what hurt, I don't know what things that have come into your life, but I promise you, if you'll let God work in it, oh, he can turn this thing for his glory. He can turn it for his good. He can build relationships and trust and he can save souls and he can work miracles and he can build the church. I mean, God works through this kind of thing. We just got to let him. This is what I want to do. I've got just a couple minutes and we got to release this service, but every head bowed, every eye closed all across this room. I just want to know, just in a moment of honesty, I'm not questioning your salvation. I'm not questioning any of that, but you say, Pastor, I know when you talk about bitterness, when you talk about forgiving, when you talk about, you know, when you talk about situations where wounds have come in, Pastor, I've got a situation that's like that right now. Nobody's looking around. I just want to know by the showing of your hands so I can know who I'm praying for. How many of you would say, Pastor, I've got a situation in my life that's like that? Something that I need to release, something that I need to let go, a bitterness that God needs to heal in my life. I want to see your hands across this room. Yeah, yeah, I see that. I see that. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Are there others? This is just a simple gesture of faith. You lifting up your hand, you're saying, God, I want you to touch me. I want you to minister in me. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Okay, this is what I want to do. I want to pray for every person in this place right now. Just want you to lift up your hands just as a sign of surrender all across this room. Jesus, I just pray right now. God, in the same way we watched you work so miraculously in the life of Joseph. God, how you took what was a broken and a ruined situation with betrayal and false accusations, imprisonment, and all of these kind of... God, if you could use Joseph in his situation, Lord, I know that you can use these men and women of God who stand before me right now. I'm asking, Lord, that you would pour out your grace, your presence, and your mercy upon each and every situation. That, God, if there are things that we need to release to you, a bitterness, a forgiveness issue, whatever it might be, maybe it's an integrity thing, a sin that's been held in secret, or a temptation, Lord, that we've not shown the light on yet. God, I'm praying that you would speak with clarity, that you would heal, that you would deliver, that you would set free all across this room. Lord, would you move by your Spirit and by your power in each and every one of our lives. Take broken and ruined situations and turn them for your glory. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus, we surrender our lives to you, mighty God. We thank you, God. If you can do it for Joseph, you're going to do it for us. Thank you for taking our ruin. Thank you for taking our hurt. Thank you for taking our pain and our betrayal. Thank you for taking all of these things, God, the things that have enslaved us, the things that have tormented us, even dreams that are so big they frighten us, God, our own pride or our own, Lord, our own arrogance or our, whatever it might be, God, I thank you. You're taking all of these things and you're turning them for your glory. You're going to use each and every one of us, mighty God. Oh, Lord, I just pray. Touch us by your Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus.